Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. I am excited about what God did with our teenagers and so excited about what he's doing in our youth group and in our church. Y'all notice Miss Eleanor is not here today. Her daughter, as many of you know, especially if you come on Wednesday night, she has terminal cancer. She lives up north in northern Virginia. And so she's near the point of death. And so Eleanor is up there with her. And so pray for Marcia and pray for David, one of Eleanor's sons that needs to be saved. And so can we pray for Marcia and David this morning? And also Antonia, one of our Embrace Grace ladies, is in the hospital, got admitted this morning with a severe migraine. And so let's pray for Antonia as well. Let's go, Lord, in prayer right now before we get into God's Word. Lord, thank you so much for the worship this morning and how it's been focused on you. Thank you for what you did with our teenagers at camp and through Pastor Colton and Lydia's leadership. Lord, just continue to bless our youth group, bless our church. Give us a burden for the lost. Give us a burden for the unborn as we focus on next week. And Lord, this is going to be a great couple of weeks of celebration as we look forward to homecoming and fellowshipping together in the days ahead. And Lord, just speak to our hearts this morning. We need to hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In your Bibles, 1 John 3, verse 20, we'll get to that in a minute. Last week I preached on holy living includes loving one another. Well, this morning I've got another aspect of holy living. Holy living includes responding to conviction. God wants to do a refining work in each of our lives. He does it from the inside out. A lot of people want to reform from the outside in. That's not the way God works. He works from the inside out. And one of the ways he does this is through conviction. The word convict means to convince someone of the truth. To reprove, to accuse, to refute, to cross-examine a witness. Now the Holy Spirit acts as a prosecuting attorney. And first, he does this at the moment of salvation. He convicts us of our sin. And when he convicts us, he's representing the righteous judgment of God. There is no appeal process. The verdict has been given. We are all found guilty. What's the Word of God say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is saved, listen, apart from the Spirit's convicting work in their lives, in their hearts. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." So we respond to that drawing, that wooing. We believe in Jesus, and we're saved for all eternity. How many glad you're saved this morning? I just want to see if you're awake and alive, all right? Well, in order for you to be saved, that means the Holy Spirit did his convicting work in your heart. You responded. You believed in Jesus. You're saved for all eternity. Put a big old smile on your face right there. Woo! We're saved for all eternity. But then after we're saved, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to sin in our lives. When you got saved, the old flesh did not get eradicated. I wish it did. But we still live in this flesh. We're still going to sin. Now I pray as we get closer to God that we will sin less. Did you get that? But you're never going to be sinless. And we're going to live in this flesh. So the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes after salvation. And we see sin, and boy, he's correcting us with conviction. Here's our verse today, 1 John 3:20. Say it with me, ready? For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. When we sin, we experience conviction in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lives there. Can I hear an amen, right? He never will leave us nor forsake us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He knows everything about us. God knows our motives. There's no hiding our feelings. There's no hiding our sin from him. Boy, we can take comfort in the fact that God lovingly convicts us. And he also opens our hearts to receive God's grace. Now, why does he do this? So that we'll repent of our sin, so that we'll turn away from it, and once again enjoy sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, how does he do this? Number one, conviction comes from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. How many got your Bibles? Hold them up. All right? Why don't you give it a good kiss, all right? Do you love God's Word? Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. As you read the Bible, it is so powerful that it can convict you of sin. As you study the Word with others, like many of you did at 10 a.m. this morning in your connection group, it's going to point out, the Word of God's going to point out things in your life that aren't right. Conviction is an important part of preaching. Y'all still realize God uses the foolishness of preaching to convict our hearts? 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul's telling Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, man. Be prepared in season or out of season. In other words, you know what that means? Whether the time is favorable or not. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear the truth these days. It's not a very favorable time for strong preaching, preaching against sin. I'm glad Gospelite likes strong preaching. We're going to stick to the Word of God. So, be instant in season, out of season, whether the time's favorable or not. Reprove, that means patiently correct. Rebuke, exhort, encourage. So there's a positive and there's negative. Sometimes we need to be patiently corrected. Sometimes we need to be rebuked. Other times we need to be encouraged. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Good teaching. Make sure our teaching comes from God's Word, not from man's opinion. Amen? Now there's going to be times as I preach that I'm going to step on your toes, so to speak. I've had people tell me that as they're exiting the building on Sunday morning. Preacher, I should have worn my, what do they call it, steel-toed shoes today. And I know exactly what they mean. Do you know what's happening, though, y'all? As I'm preparing the message, I've already stepped on my own toes. That is the power of God's Word. And I'm also convicted when I listen to others preach or teach the Word of God. God uses this in our lives. Do you realize that? He will convict us through the Word of God. Number two, conviction also comes through the Holy Spirit, through a friend, a spouse. Boy, there's been times when Tanya has said a word to me and it was like, boy, that was from God. That's exactly what I needed. I needed to hear that. Or a friend has come to me and confronted me. And boy, it might have hurt. It might have stung a little bit. You ever been there? But what they said, God used to influence my life and convict me of sin. What about a parent? Man, if you've got kids in your home, God has put you in authority over them so that you can help them as they grow in their Christian journey. Man, my parents had a way of encouraging me of the truth. And they had a way of reproving me. Now, I'm not just talking about in the way of spanking. I got spankings when I grew up. But I'm talking about just a gentle reproof and a correction, trying to get me back on the right path. I praise God I had parents like that. What about a boss? God has put them in authority over you. You ever been called to the boss's office and he had a strong word for you? Do you know he was trying to reprove you, make you a better worker, whatever the case may be? God uses authority in our lives. So he could use a friend, a spouse, a parent, a boss, any person with godly wisdom can really be a great help to us. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Wow. Like I said, their word of truth or reproof may cut our hearts like a knife. But we all need to have a friend or loved one like Nathan, who confronted King David about his sin with Bathsheba. We all need a godly person in our lives like Paul, who confronted Peter to his face in the book of Galatians when Peter got off track and needed a little correction. We need somebody like that in our lives. God will use the word. He'll use somebody in our lives. But number three, Conviction also comes from the Holy Spirit directly. Anytime you feel convicted about something, you should be happy. Where's your smile? I want to see your smile again. You know why? I know that sounds unusual. When I get convicted, I ought to smile, I ought to be happy. We are to receive conviction with joy. Why? Because it's good for us. It simply means that you have a good standing with the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. He convicts you because he lives in you, and you're allowing him to work in your life. That means you don't have a hard heart. You got a soft heart. And the Holy Spirit's able to do his convicting work. Now, I want you to listen this morning. As Christians start to backslide, start to stray away from the Lord, and it could happen to any of us. Can you shake your head? Happen to every one of us. I've seen a pattern. Over my years in ministry, just being a Christian, number one, it starts by living with distractions. Our minds and our hearts become distracted from God and from the things of God. Man, we become attracted to the people, the places, and the things of the world. Those things start to seem a bit better to us than the things of God, the people of God, or the place of God. Why is this? Well, over time, we've developed a short attention span spiritually. We're bored with church. We get bored with spiritual things. And we're not maturing. We're not growing up spiritually. We just aren't fully committed anymore. We're warned in 1 John 2:15, say this with me, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the things this world offers you. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We must all be careful. Boy, what a great warning from 1 John 2:15. Don't get distracted. Don't get sidetracked into the things of this world. You may say, preacher, that'll never happen to me. Well, it happened to one of Paul's ministry partners. His name was Demas. He had traveled with Paul for quite some time. Look at this verse, Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, and say it with me, ready? Demas, greet you. That means he's working right alongside Paul. Philemon 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Man, he's faithful preaching the gospel. He's working in the ministry, but there was an unfortunate change in Demas's life. He started looking at the things of the world and got distracted. And then the sad commentary of his life is in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, say it with me, ready, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Let me just ask you this morning, are you distracted right now, spiritually? I'm distracted. I just lost my voice. Are you distracted right now, spiritually? We can get distracted by so many things. How many got a cell phone with you? Distraction! Video games. Facebook, Instagram, Tiki Talk, whatever you want to call it. All kinds of entertainment. All kinds of entertainment. I could dwell on there, but I'm not. How about the pursuit of happiness? That can get you distracted. What about the cares of the world? Somebody came up to me this morning with tears in her eyes. I could tell she was burdened, troubled, overwhelmed by the cares of this world. Working all the time. Politics. Ooh, that's a big one, especially right now. Buying more stuff. Fame, fortune, whatever it is, those are, we can get distracted by that and many, many others. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. How are you distracted this morning from the things of God? We can get so caught up in the world that we start to forget about God. Temptation's going to overtake us and we're going to fall into sin. Don't play with temptation. Don't flirt with the things of this world. You'll lose every time. Y'all believe that? Don't mess with sin. Now, it starts with a distraction off the main thing, our relationship with Jesus. Number two, It continues with separation. Notice that Demas departed unto Thessalonica. He separated himself from ministry, separated himself from God's people, separated himself from his mentor, Paul. What about the story of the prodigal son? He leaves his loving father at home, goes off into the far country and lives it up in the world. He separates himself from his family. So it starts with distraction. It leads to separation. For us, where do we see this separation? Man, we just seem to drift away from the things of God. They don't hold our interest anymore. You used to read the Bible every day because you loved it. The principles that you were learning, man, it just thrilled you. They were so exciting to you. You used to carry your Bible to work. At break or during lunch, you'd get it out and read it. And you would hide God's word in your heart. Now you've separated yourself from God's word. You don't even think about it. You hardly think about it, and you just let it lie around. Maybe you pick it up for Sunday morning, but you don't love church like you used to either. Years ago, nothing came between you and church. You were in church for every service. Now you only go when it's convenient. You can't be counted on anymore. What in the world happened? You know, we offer 3 spiritual meals here a week. Sunday at 10 a.m., Sunday at 11 a.m., Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. We need to take advantage of all 3 meals. When the family gets together for dinner, we ought to be here. Now, I'm not talking about the potluck in 2 weeks. I'm talking about a spiritual meal. Have you feasted on the spiritual meals that Gospel Light has offered you this past week? Boy, we need to make ourselves available to that. I never had to ask my mom or dad, are we going to church today? It was a non-negotiable. I mean, it was a given. But we become distracted by the world. Then we separate from God and the things of God, his word, his people, his church. Well, that's dangerous. But then 3, it then leads to rebellion. Hebrews 3:12 says, take heed, but be careful, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing or turning away from the living God. But exhort or warn one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened against God through the deceitfulness of sin. I just don't need God like I used to. I've heard people say that. Where is that coming from? That's a hard heart, y'all. I just don't need God like I used to. You know, anytime the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, there are other voices in your head. You know what the world's saying to you? Woo! Just go ahead and do it. Have at it. If it feels good, do it. How many have heard that voice before? How about your flesh? Just go ahead and rationalize it. Justify it. You can get by with it. That's what our flesh says. And then that old devil, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's ready to pounce. Beware of all these. Don't listen to the world, the flesh, or the devil, or you're going to develop a hard heart like that scripture talks about. Peter and Judas sinned around the same time. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. However, Peter asked for forgiveness. He was restored. He was used as a great spokesman for the early church, preached the gospel, made a great impact in this world. Judas, on the other hand, did not repent of his actions. There was conviction, but no change. He rebelled against God. Jesus called him the son of perdition. He's in hell this morning. See, it's clear who Judas was listening to. I tell you, when we're in rebellion, sins we used to blush at, now we do them. Things you used to hate, now you love them. Things that you used to despise, now you like to be involved in them. You've let your guard down. But the most glaring thing, the most glaring sign that a person is living in rebellion is their attitude about sin. A holy Christian cannot stand sin. Can you say that with me? Ready? A holy Christian cannot stand sin. He realizes sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. Sin to a holy Christian makes him nauseated. He realizes it's sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. When I preach against sin, I cannot sugarcoat it. Now, you can go to a lot of churches these days, they're sugarcoating sin. Let me give you an example. Are your miracle ears on? Listen real closely. What if I went out and got some antifreeze and poured it into an empty Mountain Dew bottle? Woo, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? It looks just like it, but it's got the wrong label on the bottle. People these days want to put the wrong label on sin. Instead of sin, they call it a mistake. Are you with me, church? Instead of an addiction, oh, it's just a disease. Instead of shacking up, it's, oh, we're just helping each other out. Instead of homosexuality, it's an alternate lifestyle. Instead of seeing abortion as murder, oh, it's seen as a woman's right. The more mild you make the label, the more dangerous you make the poison. Did you get that? The more mild you make the label, the more dangerous you make the poison. We must call sin what it is, sin. And we got to hate it like God hates it. So that's the pattern. We could be living so close to Jesus, but then we get distracted. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process. But then we get separated from the things of God. Then we start living in rebellion. Now, if you're living in distraction this morning, just be honest with God. You don't have to tell me. But let me ask you some questions. Does God kick you out? Does God turn his back on you if you're living in distraction? What about if you're living in separation this morning? Does God kick you out? Does God turn his back on you? What if you're living in rebellion this morning? Does God kick you out? Does he turn his back on you? No, no, no. He desires fellowship with you. So you know what he does? His precious, indwelling Holy Spirit brings conviction. He tugs at your heart. He points out our sin. He points out the necessity of dealing with it. So I got three quick points and we're done. Ready? How to respond correctly to conviction. First of all, you got to recognize your sin. When you pray, the Holy Spirit's going to spell out what your sin is. I promise you, if you'll pray, Lord, please show me, he's going to reveal it to you. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Right? When Isaiah the prophet stood in the presence of God, he was immediately overwhelmed by his own sinfulness. Y'all remember this scripture? Isaiah 6:5. Woe is me! When you look at the word there, it's almost like he was saying, it's all over for me. For I am undone, man. I'm doomed. Because I am a man of unclean, filthy lips. And I dwell or I live in the midst of people with unclean or filthy lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Man, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we stay close to him. Any sin in our life that he reveals will drive us to our knees. We got to recognize it. Our attitude toward sin becomes that of Joseph. Remember when Joseph fled from temptation? He's crying out in Genesis 39:9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's what conviction's going to do. We're going to become ever mindful of our sin and how it dishonors God. Remember when David got right with God, he was convicted by the Holy Spirit. He cried out in Psalm 51:4, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You got to recognize your sin. Number two, you got to repent of your sin. Repent means to change one's mind about sin. See it as God sees it. Man, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, it means God wants you to make it right. When we acknowledge, when we confess, when we repent of our sin before God. There's nothing shameful about that. It's going to open up the door of mercy for every one of us. And you're going to grow closer to Jesus in the process. Remember how true repentance brings a result or results in changed actions? Let me use the example of Jonah. He disobeyed God. Would we all be in agreement? He was supposed to go to Nineveh, preach the gospel. But he fled from God's presence. God put him in the belly of a fish. Anybody been in one lately? Jonah was ready to repent. Boy, he had had enough of the inside of that belly. Jonah 2:2, and said, I cried by reason of mine infliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Woo, praise God. When you pray to the Lord, he's going to hear you. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Man, after Jonah got out of that belly's well, he obeyed. He preached with God's power. God used him. His repentance led to a change of actions. Now, you can reject conviction, but God's going to lead you into the depths of trouble. He'll do whatever's necessary to get us to repent. So after we recognize our sin, after we repent of it, then number three, we can receive the joy that comes from repentance. Remember Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Boy, you can walk away in joy and freedom because you've dealt with your sin and now you're back in fellowship with Jesus. It's been restored. You can experience the showers of blessings from heaven. You can have a peace that passes all understanding. You can have a glorious joy. Now, as long as we live in this flesh, we're going to continue to sin. That's why God, through the Holy Spirit, has made conviction a wonderful part of the Christian journey. As a child of God, always remember, the Holy Spirit will not condemn you, but he will convict you. How are you going to respond to that conviction? Boy, the next time you're convicted, see it as a great opportunity from God. Acknowledge your sin. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek God's face. Repent from your sins. Then get back up on your feet and keep going in the joy of the Lord. I tell you, if you've got sin in your life today, if I've got sin in my life today, let's get it right with God. How many would like to have that joy restored back in your life? Let's bow our heads in prayer. How do we respond to conviction? Thank God for conviction. Boy, we need to be shouting, thanking God for conviction this morning. We need to recognize our sin, repent of our sin, and then rejoice. Receive the joy that comes from repentance. I wonder if there's something in your life today displeasing to God. I'm not going to embarrass you, but right there in your seat, would you say, Lord, you've pointed out something in my life. You've used the foolishness of preaching to reveal something in my life. Or maybe it's been this past week, he revealed it in his word to you. Or he revealed it himself. Or he revealed it through a friend or a godly person. A spouse, a boss, whoever it may be. But God, the Holy Spirit is helping you through these ways. He's trying to get your attention. I just want to encourage you, if you're distracted this morning from the things of God, if you're separated from God, if you're in rebellion toward God, it's not too late. Recognize it. Repent. Receive the joy.